I'll tell you, when God expects you to act by faith, He'll present it to you in a way that you have no excuse. Sometimes we have this idea that when God wants us to do something, He's expecting so much from me. What God always does is show you what He wants from you and what He's going to do in a way that you'll know for sure. God leaves you without an excuse. He brings an angel to speak to Him.
Today on the Songtime broadcast, we begin our Advent series as we look at the Gospel of Luke. In this message from my late great mentor, Dr. Colin Smith, we'll talk about the story of Zacharias and his struggle with faith as it's announced that he'll have a son, who we know as John the Baptist. Before we get into that, we'll have a conversation with Marty Machowski about how to have an Advent family devotional with children of all ages. And the many voices come together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. With the Advent season just around the corner and December 1st coming up very quickly, which means that Christmas is not too far away, it's important for us to remember the opportunities that we have to cast the message of the gospel that is central to the Christmas season. It's very easy to lose sight of it unless we are intentional and proactive at sitting down and articulating the gospel. It will get lost amongst all of the other activities, between all of the pomp and circumstance. It'll become, especially for the next generation, all about our gifts and the treasures of this world, as opposed to the true treasure, which is found in Jesus Christ. Well, our guest today is Marty Machowski, and he's written an excellent family Advent devotional. It's designed for you to gather together with your family at around the dinner table with children and grandchildren, bring neighbors over, and to tell them the Christmas story, the true meaning behind the Christmas story. We've talked about an Advent devotional last week, but this one is definitely one about how to do so with children and children of all ages. So Marty, this is a rather unique book. It's not like other Advent devotionals that I've read in the past. It's really special, I think. So tell us a little bit about how you structured this book.
Well, I did with my prior Advent devotional, Prepare Him Room, I wove in a fictional story, a fictional family Christmas story that helps to emphasize the biblical content that I am putting forward, the whole idea, the theme of light during the Christmas season. And so Mia goes to live with her grandmother over the Christmas season, and her grandmother is blind. And so this whole idea that if you're blind, you can't see. But, her grandmother talks about how God has opened the eyes of her heart to be able to see the truth of the gospel, so that even for a blind person, in their heart, they can see. And so that story weaves throughout the Advent study of the theme of light, and I think it helps to propel kids and keep their interest as they move through the Bible study, because they want to know what's going to happen in the story. And you say, well, we'll have to wait till the next time. We'll have to do two more devotions, and then we get the next installment of the story. So you're going to have to wait. And it creates that kind of anticipation that goes along with the Bible study.
And that really makes it so that the kids are going to want to do it, and they're actually probably going to be leading the charge and saying, hey, don't forget, we got to do our Advent story. They're actually anticipating it. So if you have it scheduled around a time where your family's normally together, be it dinner after having dinner, the kids are going to want to know the rest of the story.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. And there's something that is less analytical and more tangible when you have a character in this story that they can identify with. In this case, Mia. She goes to live with her grandmother. She's in her grade school years, and she's trying to figure this all out. You know, she's grown up in a Christian family, but just because you grow up in a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. You have that watershed moment in your life where you ask the question, do I believe? And so that's the question ultimately facing Mia in the story. And, well, you'll have to read the story to figure out what happens in the end.
Mm. So for parents and for grandparents and really any caregivers, as you mentioned, that are looking to do this together as a family, it is really laid out for them quite well, including some interactive activities that they can do and participate in.
Yeah, I wanted to include activities. And the book actually comes along with a church curriculum. So your church can be doing this on Sunday, and then you as a family following up on 3 days a week for each of the weeks of Advent. And you've got activities, like you're going to make your own Advent wreath, which is actually not very difficult to do. And so it gives kids fun, hands-on things that they can accomplish and feel like they're a part of what's going on here.
We've been talking with Marty Machowski about his book. It's called The Light Before Christmas, A Family Advent Devotional. It's a great resource, especially during this season as we celebrate Christmas. We want to make sure that we're passing on to those who come behind us the true meaning of Christmas, not just the gifts and the presents, the fun and the excitement. Certainly, they're going to be excited about Christmas no matter what we do, but we want to make sure that they understand the true meaning of this season as we point them to Christ. That is our responsibility. So get a copy of this book by Marty Machowski, The Light Before Christmas, A Family Advent Devotional, and start doing devotions with your family. This is the perfect time to start doing family devotionals, and you can carry that all the way through the entire year. But you start right now. Find out more information, 508-362-7070. That's 508-362-7070. Well, this weekend, we are starting off our series in our Advent study in the Gospel of Luke. This message from Luke chapter 1, from my late great mentor, Dr. Colin Smith, takes us to the story of Zacharias. Or is it Zachariah? It depends on which translation you use, but either way, he is the father of John the Baptist. But before he becomes the father of John the Baptist, he goes through a bit of a rocky journey. To tell us the story, we go now to Dr. Colin Smith with a closer look at Luke chapter 1.
Notice how God had been working in Zacharias' life. God didn't just suddenly appear out of the thin air to Zacharias, an unprepared person. I want you to look at his life and his circumstances. First, I want you to look at Zacharias and his family. In verse 5, there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. I'll talk about why that's significant in a moment. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Here is an unusual circumstance. Here is a man who is a priest married to a woman who is of the priestly line. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances. And if anybody in all of Israel was prepared by God to trust in him, you would think it would be a priest who was born again, married to the daughter of a priest who was born again. Notice also, his ministry was very special. I mentioned he was a priest, and it says he was of the course of Abia. It means he was of the family cycle of Abia, and I'll come to that in a moment. Look at what it says in verse 8. It came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. What had happened was that during the time of the return from the exile, they had divided up the priestly families into 24 sections. And each of those 24 sections would be responsible for a period of 2 weeks per year that they were on duty in the temple. There were so many people who served, okay? Only 14 men a year could perform this particular duty. One person each day had the special privilege of taking, when you burn that first offering of the day, you took the hot coals from that and went inside to the holy place, right outside the Holy of Holies, and you put those coals on the altar of incense to light that altar of incense. And that probably only happened to a man once in his lifetime. So this guy is not only during a special time, a very sanctified time in his life, this may be, the only time in his life, the biggest day of his life, where he gets to take the coals, it says here, into the altar of the incense. It was his lot. That means it fell his turn to do that. It's the closest he'll ever come to the holy place. Can you imagine what that's like? You would think if there was ever a time when you'd be sensitive to the Lord, it's then. And it gets even more specific than that. Notice what we're told in verse 13. Fear not, for thy prayer is heard. When the priest brought those coals to light that altar of incense, he was thinking about Israel. But when you read verse 13, he was thinking about something else. He was thinking about the fact that he didn't have a child. Now, again, let me pause on this. This is, let me use the term, an old guy. Was he still hoping to have a child? According to verse 14, thy prayer is heard. Yes, that's the point. God didn't just come to him and say, good news, you may be old, but you get to go through childbirth again. You know, if that happened, you would say, I'm not so sure that's really great news. It's not like God dropped something on him that was totally unexpected. He had been praying for it. He had been asking for it. The faith that God is expecting him to exercise wasn't something that you and I should think of, well, it's out of the blue. It's ridiculous. He had wanted this. But what God was really doing was giving him the desire of his heart. Giving him what he and his wife had been praying for, and then not to believe God. Can you see the magnitude of that? God had been so gracious to give him what he wanted. Notice how God tells him here. It says, there appeared unto him the angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. How in the world can you look an angel in the face and say, give me a little bit more proof? All right? You're looking at an angelic being who appears right next to the altar of incense. God did that for him so that there was no way that he could doubt. I'll tell you, when God expects you to act by faith, he'll present it to you in a way that you have no excuse. Sometimes we have this idea that when God wants us to do something, he's expecting so much from me. What God always does is graciously show you what he wants from you and what he's going to do in a way that you'll have no doubt what it is. In a way that you'll know for sure. God leaves you without an excuse. He brings an angel to speak to him. And then notice what the angel told him. God not only said you're going to have a son, he said he is going to be great in the sight of the Lord. What more could you ask for? What more could he want? How can I know this? How can I be sure? Oh, wow. Do you understand now what was so wrong about him saying that? That it's not just that faith was something that God expected him to pull out of the recesses of his heart. It's not that God dropped something on him out of the clear blue sky without any preparation, without any ability to know what would happen, without any family history to support it, without a family that could raise that child, that God just dropped it on him and expected him to believe. That's what God did with Mary. See the point? Mary had none of these advantages. And when you see her faith, she didn't have a husband, did she? She didn't have the advantage that he had. She wasn't ready. She wasn't at the altar of the incense thinking about it. She wasn't raised in a priestly family. She had none of these advantages. She was in no way prepared for it. And that's what makes her response all the more remarkable, doesn't it? But what God does here is what we see normally. God prepares your heart by graciously giving you things that should enable you, that should bring you to the point where belief is natural.
How do you measure your faith? It's actually a very difficult question to ask because we have a complex understanding of faith. And in fact, many of us struggle to make sense of it. It's so abstract, in fact, that we have come up with illustrations that really aren't quite adequate. We talk about faith like a chair. You just got to sit down in it and just accept it and trust it and believe that it's going to hold you up. Or we can talk about faith as an exercise. If you just have enough faith, if you just believe really, really hard, then the thing that you want will just manifest itself in front of you. Well, neither one of those are really well-informed, adequate understandings of faith. In fact, when you look at the stories of the Bible, you see that people actually struggled with faith. They struggled with believing God and taking Him for His word, accepting His promises and believing those as if they were true, even though they had not yet been fulfilled. That is the reality of our life, and we see that constantly. We see it in the story of Abraham. We see it in the story of Zacharias. We see it in the story of Peter walking on the water, taking his eyes off of Jesus and sinking. This is a challenge for you and for me, but Jesus gives us a little bit of hope. He says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You know, it's not the size of our faith is what Jesus is saying. It's not about your faith. It's about the one that you're putting your faith in. He is the one who moves the mountain. He is powerful. He created the mountains. He controls the sea. He controls who gives birth and who doesn't give birth. And in that regard, it's not about us. It's about Him. And it's about our trust in Him. And that takes time to cultivate and develop, but we develop it as we lean on Him and we find Him to be faithful time and time again. Do you have those stories in your life? Are those areas that you can point to and say, there is a moment where I doubted and yet God was faithful. I didn't have faith, but God was consistent. My faith did not make God faithful. He was faithful. I just didn't believe it. Those are opportunities that we have to share our faith with others. As we are thinking about this holiday season, an opportunity to share and witness to those around us, you'll be spending time with friends and family, with neighbors and people in your community. Everyone in your life needs to hear about your faith. And this is the time to do it. This is the season to share. So we want to give you some helps in that regard. And what I would say is to talk about faith in that regard. It's trusting in God when you've doubted Him, but He came through anyway. Or even when you had faith in Him and He answered your prayers. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Share your story with those around you, those you love, and point them to the one who has the power to do all things above and beyond anything we ask or think. I hope that this encourages you, and I hope that it challenges you to really be motivated to be a part of the many voices for that one message and share your faith with others. If we have, I hope that you'll be able to come back to the Songtime Ministry and say thank you, especially with your end of the year donation. We're a ministry that is 100% supported by our listeners. And that, in fact, that's why we ask for your support on a regular basis, because it's the only way that we can stay on the air. If you believe in the work that we're doing and you've been blessed, you've been encouraged, consider giving back, especially towards this end of our year. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com, or you can look us up on social media. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime and our late founder, Dr. John DeBrine, who has always encouraged you to grow in grace so that you won't groan in disgrace, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse here, Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased.